Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. I want you to notice verse 4 and verse 5. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The beginning of verse 7, and God helped him. And then I want you to notice verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Look at verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the word of God, and I thank you, Lord, for its discernment and its direction. I thank you for its power. And God, today, as we open it, I pray that you'd help your people to have understanding. I pray, God, then that you'd give us wisdom so that after we hear it, we would humbly and rightly divide it, and we would obey it. And God, I pray that you would help me. I just ask that you'd help me to get out of your way. I give you myself, I offer myself to you for my reasonable service today, God. And I ask that you'd fill me with your spirit, use me for your glory. Again, I pray that you'd minister to every heart listening and watching today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the most intriguing aspects about the Bible is how exactly it discerns who we are as a people, how it tells us what we're thinking and our motives, and even our motives, how it speaks to us really about ourselves. Remember, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In other words, the Bible goes not just through everything I do physically, everything that I can manifest physically, but it also goes through and discerns not just what I do physically, but what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling spiritually and in my heart. Now, one of the ways the Bible does this is by telling us about a person just like us who lived a long time ago. In other words, when we read the Bible, most of us would not find much in common, for instance, with the Lord Jesus Christ. After all, he is absolutely perfect, was tempted on all points like we are, yet without sin. And so we find probably not a whole lot that we could have in common with Christ, because he is, after all, our standard. Then as you read the Bible, there are, of course, others who we like to think of as more relatable. And I believe that Uzziah is one of those people. Maybe we can't relate to him on every level. After all, he was a king. He was raised by his father, who was the king, Amaziah, and his grandfather, who was also a king, Josiah. So his lineage may be a little different from ours. Some of you may not have grown up in the king's court like Uzziah did, but his father, Amaziah, was a king, and his grandfather was also a king. So we may not have that in common, though I can't relate to the position that Uzziah held or the prominence of perhaps his family heritage. The king and I have more in common than I would really care to admit. See, he was a very young man when he was thrust into responsibility. Since his father died while he was very young, once he was made the king, the Bible declares he was 16 years old. Now, some of you may or may not have a 16-year-old. I have had several, and I have another one now. She's only 16 years old, and that would be Jenna's age. If Jenna were made the president of the United States right now, wow, what a country we would have, right? But think about that. He was made a king at 16 years old, and once he was made king, because of his father's negligence, there was much to repair. There was much to rebuild of the city and the repair of the temple and really of the nation because of his father's neglect of responsibility. often children, unfortunately, are left to pick up the pieces after their parents made some very bad decisions. And that was where Uzziah found himself. He was thrust into sovereignty, into his kingship, into his rule as a ruler at a very young age. Now, it was during this time, a time of much responsibility, by the way, and as a young man, much vulnerability, that Uzziah sought the Lord for help. Verse 4, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all of his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding and the visions of God. Now that tells me a lot about Uzziah. That means not only did he seek the Lord, but he sought the Lord with counsel. Zechariah was someone who guided him to God. Praise the Lord for people that we have in our life who can point us back to the Word of God, who can point us back to the cross of Calvary, who can say, you know, I want you to understand something that we may not understand, that God understands it all and that He knows all things. Well, Uzziah sought the Lord for his help. And the Bible tells us that while he sought the Lord, that the Lord blessed whatever he put his hand to. Now, the word prosper here, at the end of verse 5, the Bible says, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That word prosper there means that God blessed whatever he did. In other words, God made his rule and reign successful. The word means to succeed in or to be profitable. So everything that you read about Uzziah here, the Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, that God made him to prosper. And it really didn't matter what it was. God's good hand of blessing, God's good hand of grace, God's good hand of mercy was on Uzziah's life. Now, in all that we do in life, it is always necessary to have the right motives. It's always good to have the right reason for our actions. And from that aspect, Uzziah teaches us a whole lot about him and about ourselves. Now, I want you to notice in your notes this morning, Uzziah's story teaches us that there is, first of all, a good reason to seek the Lord. We have a good reason to seek the Lord. What is the good reason? God's blessing on our life. The Bible says at the end of verse 5, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Our God, you need to remember, longs to prove his faithfulness to you and I. He desires to show his hand of favor on our lives. He desires to fill the life that is willing to be emptied for his sake, and he wants to show himself strong on behalf of those who are weak. Listen, our God's heart is to be a help. Now think about this. In verse 5, at the end of verse 5, notice what it says. And as long as he sought the Lord God, God made him to prosper. Now let's read a few more verses here. Look at verse 6. And this is what Uzziah did. And he went forth and he warred against the Philistines, the arch enemy of Israel. And he broke down the wall of Gath. That's a city in Palestine there. And the wall of Jebna and the wall of Ashdod, and built the cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. He went in and invaded these cities that were Philistines, and he built them up and made them his cities, and he forged his kingdom and strengthened it. Notice verse 7, and God helped them. Against who? Against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbaal, and the Mahanims and the Ammonites. Notice this. And the Ammonites, because of what God did, the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad even to the entering of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. And he built towers in the deserts and digged many wells. And the Bible says, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and the plains, husbandmen also, and the vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Now, to me, that says a whole lot, not just about how God helped Uzziah, not just about how God blessed Uzziah, but what God did in Uzziah's heart for all of that. The Bible says that he loved husbandry. Who loves husbandry that has all that he's trying to do? Who has time to do that? Well, God put a very pleasant thing in his heart that he would enjoy his endeavors. Now, all of that is God's blessing. You talk about a good reason to seek the Lord. Uzziah sought the Lord, and I love the phrase simply in verse 7, and God helped him. What do you need God's help with? Could I just suggest everything? I know that's what it spoke to me about. Do I want God's help? Absolutely. Well, the Bible declares in many different areas how many times over and over, it's amazing how many times over and over the Bible emphasizes not only the importance of seeking the Lord, but the blessing that comes from it. Listen to a few verses. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11:10. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Acts 17:27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him, and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Notice again in Psalm 27:8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I love that. That's exactly what happened to Uzziah. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, God says, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Hosea 10 sows it all up for us. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Do you understand how many times the Bible guides us to this one point? Seek the Lord. And it's not just a command. It's a command for good reason. God says, seek the Lord because I want to help you. I want to bless your life. If there's one thing Uzziah teaches us, it is that we have a good reason to seek the Lord. Because when we seek the Lord, when we seek the Lord for his wisdom, for his counsel, when we seek the Lord for his will, he blesses and enriches our lives. He willingly helps us to fulfill his will. He fills our lives with the pleasures of righteousness. Now I would ask you this morning, you have a good reason to seek the Lord, but are you seeking him? You see, the blessing of this time where we can't be involved in a whole lot of other things is that we can be involved in the one thing that God says to do first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that I'll help you, so that all these things can be added unto you. You see, Uzziah's life teaches us that we have a good reason to seek the Lord. But secondly, not only do we have a good reason to seek the Lord, we have a great reason to remain humble. We have a great reason to stay humble. Now let's keep going in the story here. The Bible says in verse 11, moreover, now after all that I just read, moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. These were the captains, and under their hand was an army, get this, 300,000 and 7,500 that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. Notice verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread afar abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Notice this, till he was strong. Here in verse 15, you understand that Uzziah was one of those forerunners in as far as ingenuity. The word engines there has to do with catapults. And he invented basically these catapult systems that not only would hurl stones, but great arrows and spikes through the air. And by them, the Bible says, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But then something happened. And I want you to see it in verse 16. The Bible says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Now, if we just take the first part of that and we say that his heart was lifted up, you and I both know what that means. He's talking about pride. What's the reason to stay humble? Because God hates it. God hates our pride. And when pride interferes with God's glory, then pride goes before a great fall. Now let's just go back and look. Verse 7, and God helped him. Look down at verse 13 at the end of the passage, talking about how many men it says to help the king against the enemy. How did Uzziah's pride lift himself up? Because he was no longer looking to the help of God. He was looking to the help of his kingdom. He was looking at how many people were around him that really like Uzziah. He was looking at how much money he had in the bank. He was looking at his career goals and his path was all laid out. He was looking at the ease of all that he had to him. He was looking at everything else for strength and help except God. He forgot verse 7. That the reason that he had the success, that the reason that he had the tranquility, that the reason that he had the fame, that the reason that he had the prestige and all the protection and all that he had was because of God. Not because of the army, not because of his inventions, not because of his quick wit, not because he had the managing ability of a CEO, but because when he was 16, he said, God, will you help me? Would you please help me? You see, God hates pride. And when pride interferes with God's glory, then pride must go before a great fall. The Bible paints a very vivid picture, not only of God's hatred for pride, but also of how he responds to it. Proverbs 8 and verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Thou hast rebuked the proud, thou art cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Seest thou a man wise in his own counsel? There is more hope of a fool than of him. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And whosoever will exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Isn't it interesting that over and over and over and over in the scripture, the Bible says, seek the Lord, seek him continually, seek him first, seek him primarily, seek him preeminently, seek him properly. And then it follows that and says, now, don't just seek the Lord, but stay humble, because I hate pride. I hate when your heart is lifted up. And I hate it for two reasons. One, because of the foundation of it is in Satan. But secondly, because of the result of that sin. God, like many parents, don't like to chasten their children, but he'll do it. He'll do it like a good father chastens his son or daughter, because the fruit of that chastisement is holiness. The part that is wrong gets cut it off. It gets removed. God says, I hate pride. I hate it because it takes my glory and you feel like you can do anything on your own, and that's Satan's heart. But I also hate it because of how I have to respond to it. Uzziah's downfall was when he was lifted up in his own heart. You see, he had it so good. Uzziah had it so good. Things were going so well that God was not needed anymore. And that's when he was destroyed for his pride. The Bible says, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You see, his pride led to presumption. And his presumption led to punishment. Nothing about his life was the same after he was lifted up. Now, at the point when you and I look around at our lives, and we think to ourselves, we no longer need to seek the Lord in dependence, we begin to assume the blessings of God, and then we presume what we want to do next. You see, Uzziah took for granted all that he had, all of his power, all of his might, the fame of his name being spread abroad. He took for granted all the gifts that God was giving to him. Let's say it this way. He took for granted. He assumed the help. He assumed the grace of God. He assumed the mercy of God. And when that no longer contented him, he presumed what he wanted to do next. That's when we find ourselves involved in things we have no business being involved in. Surely when we let our guard down, we more readily give place to the devil, don't we? So God's admonition is, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder in 1 Peter 5. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. And then notice this, be clothed. Be clothed. Be wrapped around yourself. Just be engulfed with humility. Why, God? Why is it so important to make that how the people in this world see us? Why is it so important that that's what we have to have put on? For God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Here, Uzziah is going out and he is battling the Philistines and he's battling the Ammonites and he's battling the Mahanims, and God's giving him victory after victory after victory. But when he gets lifted up in his heart, God battles against Uzziah. The word resisteth the proud means that he is encaging him around. He is laying siege to Uzziah's life. And the very God who was at once helping is now working to humble Uzziah. You see, Uzziah wasn't a great king, but he was a good king. He was a good king that started his life seeking the Lord. And the one chink in the armor of his testimony was his pride. You look in the book, you go to the studies. 52 years is one of the longest, if not the longest reign of any kings of Judah or Israel. 52 years. And the one chink was his pride. You could say it a whole bunch of different ways. Uzziah got too big for his britches. He thought too highly of himself. And he didn't think enough about his need for God. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you actively, regularly, consistently, persistently seeking the Lord? If you're not, beware. Beware. If you don't exalt the Lord in your heart will exalt itself. Notice verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. See, in the story, we find a good reason to seek the Lord. Why? The blessings of God. We also find a great reason to stay humble, because God hates it and he always punishes pride. But thirdly, we see a greater reason to be thankful. Why should we be thankful? Well, because it brings glory to God, and God loves thanksgiving. He loves gratitude. He loves thanksgiving. Now, you and I love thanksgiving for a lot of different reasons. We love thanksgiving because of the family that we get to be around and the testimonies we share. And certainly that's a wonderful thing. We love Thanksgiving, but maybe because the football we get to watch, and we get to exercise that event with our family or friends, or we love the fellowship with other people. We love the food involved in the day. But there's a lot of reasons, a lot of emotions are involved in Thanksgiving. Well, for God, it's much of the same emotion. That is, he sees the love and the gratitude, yea, and the humility from a heart that's grateful for all that he's done, for all that he is. You see, when Uzziah was strong, and he was marvelously helped, by the way, by the good providence of God until he was that way, when he had grown very great and considerable in wealth, in interest, and in power, instead of lifting up the name of God in gratitude after all that he had done for him, his heart was lifted up instead to his destruction. Now that he had done so much business and won so much honor, the Bible says here that his name spread abroad, that even other people were bringing him gifts, that the Ammonites were bringing him gifts. In other words, he went out, conquered the Philistines, laid siege to all these cities and the Mahanims, and now the Ammonites are going, you know what, we don't want that to happen to us. Let's send gifts to him. Let's honor him, because something is obviously going right down up there in Jerusalem. And so let's let his name be spread abroad. And the gossip line was sent. Uzziah is the man. And it goes all around. After all of that, it was so good, and he had so great an honor. Too great, or too good for him. I'm sorry. No business, no honor, nothing was too good or too great for him. In other words, there was something else. His sin, after this, after he had been blessed, after he had been so built up by everybody else, was this is not enough. By the way, enough is never enough. I'm never going to be content with what I have as long as I'm not humbly grateful to God. So, the Bible tells us what his sin actually was, where his pride led him. It was going into the temple of the Lord to burn incense. Why was it a transgression against God? Because he went into the temple to burn incense. Now, probably it was on some solemn feast day or when he himself had a special occasion. Notice what the Bible says in verse 17 and or the end of verse 16. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests, 80 of the Lord that were valiant men. Notice this. And they withstood Uzziah the king. By the way, that's the only place the priests were allowed to withstand the king. The king had freedom. He had reign. He could do anything he wanted. But you start to go in to do what was not rightfully yours, and you start taking on yourself the office of the priest, and you go in before the Lord to do what you're not supposed to do, God says, then you withstand him. So 81 priests stand before Uzziah, and they said unto Uzziah, in verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the son of Aaron, that are consecrated to do so, to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Notice the response in verse 19. Then Uzziah was wroth. Can I ask you a question? Why was he wroth? Why was he angry? He knew he was wrong. He knew that Azariah was right. He knew he had no business in there. Why? Because a fool's right in his own mind. Because if you rebuke a fool or a scorner, then you're going to get ashamed. In other words, Azariah went in to do what was right, and because Uzziah was so wrong, he was angry about it. You ever meet a Christian who's living out of the will of God and try to help them perhaps with sin that's in their life, and they turn on you and they get angry and they despise the truth out of your mouth? Why? Because their heart's lifted up in pride. Notice what the Bible says. Then in verse 19, Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. He was going to do it anyway. He was going to defy the Lord God Almighty and his priests. Notice what it says. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. What could move him to such presumption or put such a thing into his head? I think I'll go in and I'll be a priest now. Was it that big of a deal? Was it that big of a deal that was a part of his life that was in the control of God that he was not supposed to do? Was it that big of a deal that he just presumed that he would do what he had nothing to do with? What could have been the cause? None of his predecessors had done it, not the best or the least of any of them, not even the worst. They never attempted to go into the temple to do that. The law, he knew, was expressly against him. There was no precedent for him to follow. Well, this is what they did. He could not pretend there was any necessity. Well, I need to do this like Saul. I need to do this because Samuel's not away. He didn't have necessity. He couldn't claim ignorance. He knew exactly what he was doing. Why then? Well, perhaps he thought the priests weren't doing their job right. You know, when they go in to burn incense, it doesn't seem to me, because I'm so spiritual, after all, I'm Uzziah. I'm so successful, and the Lord has been helping me. It just seems to me that that preacher is not as devout as I think he should be. That priest is not burning the incense like I think that he should be burning incense. Maybe I could do a better job. Maybe I could do that also. Or perhaps he took his lead from the unsaved. Maybe he looked at the kings of the ungodly and the pagans and how these idolatrous kings could go in and burn incense at their altars to their gods. By the way, his predecessor Jeroboam did it. His father did it. No one knows why exactly he did. But we do know what led him to the decision. His pride. We do know what got him to the point of presuming to do or take something that didn't belong to him. His pride. Remember, the Bible calls it a transgression against the Lord his God. Remember, when you and I sin, it is first and foremost against the Lord our God. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. So whatever the reason for his action, we know this. He was not content with the blessings and the honors that God had put upon him, but would instead take hold of those that were forbidden him. By the way, like our first parents. Matthew Henry said he invaded the dignity of the priesthood, which he had no right to, and for that he was deprived even of his royal dignity, which he did have the right to. This is a great statement. He said, those that covet forbidden honors forfeit allowed ones. Look at verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. What does that mean? Well, Jewish law required that a leper be separated from everybody, quarantined. And he had to dwell in a house of lepers, and he had to forsake the house of the king. But the tragedy was not that he couldn't go home to his own house. The tragedy here is the Bible says he was cut off from the house of the Lord. Mark it. He had the privilege to go into the house of the Lord. He had the privilege of worshiping the Lord. The Bible indicates at the beginning of the chapter that he had a regular habit of doing that when he was young. Now that he experienced victory, now that he experienced abundance, now that he experienced all that life had to offer him, he no longer sought the Lord. What's that mean? He no longer went into the house of the Lord. It was no longer a privilege. It was no longer something that he felt he needed to do. And so he didn't mind it. Instead, he decided to presume himself and say, well, bless God, I think I'll just go in and do something that doesn't have anything to do with me. I'll take an office that's not mine to take. I want to do my will instead of operating within the confines of God's will. And what did it cost him? It cost him his own family, because now his son has to be raised up in his stead to rule instead of him. And he couldn't go worship the Lord anymore. He could no longer do that. And the Bible says until the day of his death. How sad. It's sad to think of how many blessings have been forfeited by God's people because they would not remain humbly grateful for the ones that they have. So many marriages have been destroyed. So many homes have been demolished. So many testimonies have been decimated by Christians who are not seeking the Lord, who are lifted up in their heart, who are not content with what God has given them and what he has called them to. The psalmist said in Psalm 103 and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgiveth, forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all the iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like eagles. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take of the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Oh, truly, Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. And thou hast loosed my bonds. Listen, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. What's the key to all this? A grateful heart. A grateful heart causes us to seek the Lord and remain humble. A grateful heart that praises God for all of his benefits. Psalm 107 verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God was pleased when Uzziah was seeking him? Oh, absolutely. Do you think God was pleased when Uzziah was still humble? Absolutely. Do you think God was pleased when Uzziah was still grateful for all that he had and all that he could do? Absolutely he was. And he gives us good, great, and greater reasons to do all three. Certainly God in his mercy pens a story that all of us can relate to at some point in our lives. Has there ever been a time when you stopped seeking the Lord for his help? When you stopped seeking the Lord for guidance, for strength, for forgiveness? Has there ever been a time when you were lifted up in your heart in pride? When you became discontent in God's will for your life? Has there ever been a time when you were not grateful for the blessed life that you live, for all that God has given you in Jesus Christ? By the way, one additional note I'd like to give you this morning. I want you to realize in the middle of this passage that God gave Uzziah an opportunity to repent. He gave an opportunity to repent and leave. He only suffered at the hands of God's judgment because he would not repent. Verses 18 and 19. The priests go to him and they say, hey, you can't do this. You need to get out of here. And the response, instead of repentance, was that he was wroth. The Bible says in verse 19, then Uzziah was wroth, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth, God judged him. I love the Lord, and I'm so thankful that I have a Savior. I'm so grateful that if this king and I have these things in common this morning, that I have been given an opportunity to humble myself and repent. I say to God, Lord, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me for not seeking you? Because, Lord, when I don't seek you, I'm not humble. When I don't seek you, I'm not grateful. I'm not content with such things as I have. Because, after all, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I'm so thankful that I can start living a life that God blesses again. And all it takes is for me to turn. Let's seek the Lord this week. Let's call on him and ask him for help so that he will. And let's maintain a grateful heart for all that he's done for us. Heavenly Father, I give you today all the glory and honor and praise worthy of the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our great God. And I want to thank you for this story in the Bible. I want to thank you, God, that it's passages like these that discern the thoughts and intents of our heart, that give us cause to stop and listen carefully to the still small voice of our God. Lord, I pray that every heart today that's tuning in would be sensitive now to their life, to your presence around them. And God, I pray that what you'd find in us pleases you. I pray that, Father, we would lift up our hearts to you each and every day in praise and gratitude. But Lord, that we would let our requests be made known unto God. And as we do so, I pray that everything that our hand finds to do, that it would prosper. And it would be again for your praise and honor. Thank you for the opportunity we have today to worship together. I pray that you'd bless the remainder of our day. Keep us safe. Watch over our families. In Jesus' name. Amen.